Well, I was delighted when Simon read from those verses this morning, because that's what the Lord's put on my heart this morning. So I think the Lord is wanting to speak to us this morning. There must be at least one person in this assembly that needs to hear this morning. If the Lord has given that to Simon independently of me, then I'm sure the Lord wants to say something to you and to me. And hopefully we will listen and hear. So let's just read from Hebrews 4. We're just going to read the last three verses. Therefore, since we have a great high priest who has passed through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our confession. For we do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weaknesses, but one who has been tempted in all things as we are, yet without sin. Therefore, let us draw near with confidence to the throne of grace, so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help in time of need. I just want to say one or two things from these three verses, really. First of all, it's wonderful, isn't it, that you and I have a high priest. Not any old high priest. He is the great high priest. He is the Son of God, the Lord Jesus Christ, who has passed through the heavens and sits on that throne, the Lamb of God, who has a ministry even today, you know, even though he's performed much for us already at Calvary. There's an ongoing ministry that Jesus has. Did you know that? Let's just read from Hebrews 7, go forward a page, because it tells us a little bit more about what the Lord Jesus is doing. Therefore, the Lord Jesus, this is verse 25, is able to save forever or completely those who draw near to God through him, since he ever lives to make intercession for them. So we have the Lord Jesus Christ as our great high priest. And the high priest talks of someone who represents us. He stands in heaven, in that tabernacle in heaven, representing us before the throne of God. He is speaking on our behalf. Isn't that marvelous that the Lord Jesus is there, even now this morning, representing us? And it's a great high priest. And that word great implies so many things. How is this high priest a great high priest? He's a great high priest in his ability. There's no one else that has the ability to represent you and I before the Father. He's great in his position, in his power. His ministry is greater than any other ministry. His splendor and his glory are all great. And of course, this high priest is eternal. And that's wonderful, isn't it? Well, that's wonderful. Some of the qualities of this high priest, the Lord Jesus Christ, but one of the greatest qualities of the high priest that we have, this great high priest, is found in verse 15. And this is why we're encouraged to draw near to the throne of grace this morning. It's because of who the Lord Jesus is. Let's just read that verse again. For we do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weaknesses, but one who has been tempted in all things as we are, yet without sin. We do not have a God who is unable to sympathize, friends. We have a God who has trod this earth before us. We have a God who has been tempted in every way. The Lord Jesus Christ underwent temptation that you and I probably will never face. He knows exactly what you are going through. The tests and the trials that he had make him absolutely fit for helping us. And that word sympathize, it actually means this, and I was thrilled when I read this. It actually has a lovely touch to it. It says, can be touched or moved with the feeling of our infirmities. Isn't that wonderful? We have a high priest who can be moved, touched with the feeling of our infirmities. The Lord is not distant and separate. He is there with us in our trials. He is there with us in our testings. Even when we're undergoing temptation, the Lord is there. And we need to lay a hold of him, of course. Well, we know something of that the Lord sees what we're going through. He understands. This great high priest of ours knows exactly what you and I are going through. And if you're in a place this morning where you're not in much need, well, you're probably mistaken, because you will be in a place of need, perhaps even greater need in the days to come. But we're all in need, aren't we, of something. And the Lord sees exactly what we're going through. We have this even in the Old Testament. The Lord was aware of what his people were going through. He was not unaware. He was not cut off and somehow separate and distanced, looking on from a distance, sort of unconcerningly. The Lord was there with his people, even in the Old Testament, with Israel. Let's look at Exodus chapter 2 and look at a few verses there. And verse 23 of Exodus 2. Now it came about in the course of those many days that the king of Egypt died, and the sons of Israel sighed because of the bondage, and they cried out, and their cry for help because of their bondage rose up to God. And what did God do? Was he unconcerned? Did he say, I can't make head or tail of this? What on earth are they talking about? No, the Lord saw and he heard. It says, so God heard their groaning. And God remembered his covenant with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. God saw the sons of Israel and took notice of them. And God determined in his heart that he was going to do something. Isn't that wonderful? God saw and he heard. He saw it then and he sees it today. No matter what you're going through, no matter what you will face in the future, God sees it. He knows it. He hears your groaning. And he wants to hear your cry for help as well. That's our God, friends. The one who sits on the throne this morning is our great high priest who knows exactly what we're going through. He's trod that path himself. He knows what it is to be in pain. He knows what it is to be in suffering. He knows what it is to have grief in his heart. This is our God, friends, who knows exactly what you are going through. And he knows what you will be facing in the future. So we have a great high priest, friends, in every possible way of that word, of what it can mean. He is a great high priest. There's no one greater than him. And of course, the wonderful encouragement for us is that this high priest of ours not only has trod this path that we trod, but he overcame. And that's the marvel, isn't it? The Lord Jesus overcame all temptation. Every trial and everything that came upon him, he overcame. And that's the encouragement for us, in that we don't face these things on our own. We face it with someone who knows the way of overcoming. He knows the way that we're to go. So this is, friends, the great high priest. Well, let's have a look at what we are, our response to all this. Because, of course, the writer here is laying out before, in the book of the Hebrews, that this is the high priest that we have. And what is our response to be? It is to be that we draw near. That is what God is wanting for every one of us here this morning. That we will be a people that draws near to this throne. It's not that we remain distant. And we can be distant sometimes. We can refuse to draw near. We can sort of grit our teeth, can't we? And think, I'm going to get through this, come what may. Whereas it would be much easier if we just put that sort of self-determined, self-effort aside, really, and just say, Lord, I need your help. And draw near. So let's have a look at this. What are we drawing near to? We are drawing near to a throne. Isn't that wonderful? We are drawing near to a throne that is an eternal throne. It's the throne from which God dispenses perfect justice, perfect righteousness. Every judgment that he makes, every verdict that he gives is perfect, and it comes from that throne. This is the throne that we're coming to, friends. It's a throne on which sits the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And it's a throne that we can approach. We've been praising the Lord this morning for that, haven't we? How marvelous and how wonderful that you and I, as sinners redeemed by the Lord Jesus Christ, can get near to this throne on which sits the perfect Son of God, the sinless Son of God. And yet that is the reality, friends. But of course, we have to draw near. And of course, sometimes we can be a little bit slow in that, can't we? I know myself, sometimes we can be a little bit slow in drawing near to the Lord and sort of try to muddle through whatever we're going through, when it would be much better and much easier if we draw near to the throne. And this is something we need to make a habit of. It isn't that we just draw near in times of need. That's the encouragement here, of course. But God is wanting us to draw near to him constantly, continually. And you know, the more we know of God, the more we see of Him, the more we experience Him in our lives, the more readily and more quickly we want to draw close to Him. When we remain distant, when we remain afar off, and we know little of Him and little of His work in our lives, then we'll be less prone to drawing near to Him. But the more we know Him, the more we spend time with Him, the more we draw near to this marvelous throne of grace, the more we want to do it. That's the wonder of it. So, the wonderful thing is, although this throne is a throne that God dispenses perfect justice from, and judgments are absolutely right and perfect, no one will ever be able to point a finger at God and say that was unfair. Everything He's ever done and everything He will ever do is perfect. But you know, for the believer, it's more than that, isn't it? It's a throne of grace. That's the wonder of this throne that we are approaching this morning, friends, and looking at this morning. It's a throne of grace that nobody apart from the believer can get near. Because there's only one way to approach this throne of grace, that's in Christ. That passage in Hebrews 7 says this: therefore, He is able to save completely those who draw near to God through Him. We can only draw near to God through the Lord Jesus Christ. You can only get near to the throne of grace through Christ. It's in Him. Grace has, it means nothing outside of Christianity. Mercy and grace is unique to a Christian. It won't be found in another religion. It's found in Christ, because it's found in a man. It's found in the Lord Jesus Christ. Friends, we are a privileged people this morning that we can approach the throne of grace. And I just want to say something about grace and its qualities. It's quite a difficult word to define, isn't it? I mean, there's an acronym that says God's riches at Christ's expense, the favour of God. But it's more than that, of course. I saw one definition that's quite good. It says God's activity in a believer's life. I like that. God's activity in a believer's life. We are called to approach the throne of grace because God wants to be active in our life. He wants to help us. He wants to intervene. God isn't saying this to us because it's nice for us to hear. God is wanting us to draw near so that we can lay a hold of this grace, so that He can be active in our lives, so that He can prove Himself in our lives, that He is exactly what He says He is. And of course, if we refuse to draw near, if we are trying to live a Christian life at a distance from God, it ain't going to work. We will experience very little of the grace of God in our lives. We have to draw near to experience His grace, to know something more of the activity of God in our lives. We have to draw near to the throne of grace. If we remain distant from that throne, we miss out on so much. Our testimony as a believer will be weak and insipid. It won't affect other people's lives. But when we are drawing near and spending time and coming to Him, receiving that grace, knowing His activity in our lives, then we will have a testimony, friends. Then others will see and take note. What is it about this person that makes him different? It's because the grace of God is at work in his life and her life. So it isn't only for our benefit that God wants to give us grace. It's for the benefit of others as well. That's how God works, isn't it? He works in our lives so that others can be affected as well. God's economy is tremendous, isn't it? The way that He works things out. His ways are far higher than your way and my ways, but they are perfect. So God's activity in a believer's life is something of His enabling that He gives us. That's His grace. God wants to give us His enabling. He doesn't want us to trust in our own ability in times of need. If you are trusting in your own ability this morning, can I say to you, stop. It'll be sorely lacking, and it will be found out one day. Because what God has a habit of doing is putting us in a place where it will not be enough. It will not be enough, our own ability, our old strength. We will have to trust Him. We'll have to draw near to receive this grace, to receive His ability, His enabling. So put aside, leave aside that trust in your own ability, friends, and look to Him. Look to Him. And friends, this grace is found nowhere else. You can look for it anywhere else you like. You will not find it but in Christ. This throne of grace is where Christ sits, where He intercedes on our behalf, where He represents us as that great high priest. And it is with Him that grace rests. It's from Him that grace is given. It's from Him that we receive this grace. You will not receive it from anywhere. I can't give you grace this morning. Simon can't give you grace. The Archbishop of Canterbury can't give you grace. God forbid. You will only find grace this morning in Christ. You won't find it in another religion. You won't find it in the leader of another religion, all of whom are dead. You'll find grace in the living Lord Jesus, the one who sits on the throne of grace, who lives, ever lives to intercede for us. He ever lives to intercede for us. What a heart God has for His people. Why should He have such a heart for us? Because He does. Because He does. And the Lord wants us to know that this morning. He wants us to know that He is not unconcerned about the position you find yourself in this morning. He wants you to know that the Lord, that He wants to help you in your time of need. But He also wants you to know that you have to draw near first. It isn't automatic that because I have a label of a Christian, that I can get all the help I need by doing nothing. I need to draw near. I need to come to Him. I need to plead with Him. I need to call on Him. I need to express my trust in Him. And that's something of that first verse, of verse 14, where it says, since we have a great high priest who has passed through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our confession. Let's keep trusting Him, it's saying, really. Let's hold fast our confession that He is who He says He is, and He has done what He has done. Let's hold fast to that and keep trusting Him. Well, friends, this grace is available to every one of us this morning. It's available to the body here as an assembly. It's available 24 hours a day. Isn't it marvellous? God doesn't shut up shop at evening and say, right, it's time to close. You can't have any more grace for today. You've had your lot. God isn't like that, friends. It's wonderful. He who watches over Israel never slumbers nor sleeps. He is constantly awake, can I put it that way reverently? He is there watching us every moment of every day. And the grace is available for us every moment of every day. We just need to come to Him. We need to draw near to Him. And we need to receive that grace. Yes, we need to receive the grace. We need to come to Him and receive it by faith and find grace in our time of need. And that grace is found in Christ, of course. So friends, can I encourage you, if you're not doing that this morning, if you're not coming to Him, if you're not spending your time before that throne of grace, can I encourage you to do that? You may not be in particular need at the moment, but there will come a day that you will be in need. Can I sort of respectfully say that we are in need every day? We're in need every day of His presence, of His wisdom. Even if we're not going through trials and tests, there will be things that you and I need daily from the throne of grace. And we need to lay a hold of them. So friends, can I encourage you, draw near to this throne of grace. Don't remain distant. Don't remain far off. Draw near to Him and spend time with Him. Well, a couple of more things, really. How and why do we draw near? Well, I've given some of the why, but let's have a look at one or two more things as well. We're to draw near also. Let's look at Hebrews 7 again. Hebrews 7, verse 25. There's another reason for drawing near here as well. Therefore, He is able also to save completely those who draw near to God through Him. There is deliverance at this throne of grace. There is salvation. Now salvation, yes, not just speaking of that initial time that we draw near and experience the born again experience, if you like, and we find him for ourselves, but it's an ongoing salvation. This is something God is working in our lives. Salvation is ongoing. And there are things that we will need to be delivered out of, problems and trials perhaps, other things as well. And God is able to deliver us, but we need to draw near to the throne of grace. God isn't going to sort of wave a magic wand when we are remaining distant and deliver us out of things. We need to draw near to him and express something of our dependency upon him. That's what God loves. He loves when his children come to him and express their dependency on him. Because there's no shortage of resources with God. We as parents, if you're a parent this morning, you know it's wonderful when your children come to you and express something of dependency on you. But you may not have all the answers. You may not have all the resources that they need. But we have a Heavenly Father that has every resource that is at his fingertips, if you like. So friends, we need to draw near to receive grace. We need to draw near to know more of that salvation, that deliverance of him as well. But we also need to draw near so that we can behold him. And one or two of you read things this morning in that time of worship. Let's read Revelation 4, please. Revelation 4. Well, there's a lot here we could. Let's read from verse 9. And when the living creatures give glory and honour and thanks to him who sits on the throne. Yes, we are to do that, friends, aren't we? And that's what we were doing this morning in our time of worship. We are coming to the one who sits on the throne. We're worshipping him, giving him thanks and praise. And then it says, the 24 elders will fall down before him who sits on the throne and will worship him who lives forever and ever, and will cast their crowns before him, saying, worthy are you, our Lord and our God, to receive glory and honour and power, for you created all things, and because of your will they existed and were created. Friends, we need to draw near this throne of grace so that we can see the one who sits on the throne, so that we can behold the Lamb of God and see something more of who he is. And you know what? It's in the beholding of the Lamb. It's in the seeing of God. It's in the seeing of our Lord Jesus Christ that we are able then to worship him. That we're able then to express something more of our gratitude and our heart's devotion to him. The elders fell down and worshipped him. They beheld him, and the only reaction they could do is to fall down and worship him. The more we see of him, the more you'll want to worship him. If you find it difficult to worship the Lord, can I suggest you draw near this throne of grace more often and begin to gaze upon him and ask him to reveal himself? Because the Lord wants to show you himself. He wants you to behold him. He wants to make himself known to us. And it's in the beholding of the Lamb of God that we're able then to worship him. It's our failure to see him for who he is that prevents us entering into worship deeply. The more we see of him, the more we'll be able to worship him. So can I encourage you and myself here, speaking to myself as much as anybody, that we learn more and more of what it is to draw near and to behold him. To spend time with him. To spend time with him worshipping him at home. If you do that, you'll find it much easier in the assembly to worship. If you're able to worship him on your own, don't be embarrassed by your own voice. The Lord is listening. That's what matters. But we need to learn to worship him, to draw near, to behold him, to express our thanks and gratitude to him. We need to do that on our own. We need to do it in the assembly, of course. So can I encourage you, if you find it difficult to worship the Lord, then you need to behold him more. You need to see more of him. And the Lord will show himself to you. He wants you to see him. He wants you to know him in a deeper way. He does not want you to remain distant. He wants you to draw near. That is the heart of God for his people. Because he's a loving heavenly father. A father that wants his children to have fellowship with him. And not remain distant. Well, friends, finally perhaps, how are we to draw near How are we to draw near to him? Well, it gives us one word in this, doesn't it? We can draw near confidently, boldly. That's not in self-confidence. There's nothing of ourselves that can merit you or I drawing near to the Lord Jesus Christ. This is our confidence that is born of faith. It is the assurance that we have in our hearts that Jesus Christ welcomes us. He wants us to draw near to him, and he wants to help us. And again, that is so often comes out of our relationship with him. If our relationship is in a poor state, then we won't have that confidence, will we? But God wants us to approach the throne of grace in confidence, boldly, knowing that he is not only able to help you in time of need, but he wants to. There are many people that want to and haven't got the ability to help. But our God has both. He not only wants to help you in your time of need, he is able to do that. He's able to do that, friends. So we can boldly come before him. We can confidently come to him, knowing that he has our best interest at heart. So let's do that, friends. But we also need to come clothed in the Lord Jesus Christ. We come through the Lord Jesus Christ. So we don't rush in if we've not made sure that I'm not living in sin, for example. If there are things in my life that are wrong, and I know they are wrong, they need to be dealt with. We can't come boldly into the presence of God if there's sin in my life. That's a real barrier. So we need to make sure that I've dealt with those things that can often stop and hinder me coming to the Lord Jesus Christ. And you'll know what they are in your life. There are things that you know are wrong and you're continuing to do them, then put them behind you, friends. And that will make it much easier for you to draw near. And then finally, one other thing. We come humbly. Let's turn to James chapter 4. Well, let's read from verse 6. But he gives a greater grace. Here we have again, God giving grace. Therefore it says, God is opposed to the proud, but gives grace to the humble. Submit therefore to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Draw near to God, and he will draw near to you. Cleanse your hands, and so on. But you see, it all comes back to that first verse we read. God gives grace to the humble. And there's a submitting that we need to. Submit yourself to God. The humble man is willing to submit to God in everything. To submit to the word of God. We can't say we submit to God if we don't submit to his word. The two are, you can't separate them. If we won't submit to what God says in his word, we are saying we do not submit to God. But when we humble ourselves and submit to him, we are able to receive that grace. We're able to draw near and receive that grace. So can I encourage each one of us to make sure that we humbly come before the throne of grace. And we submit fully to God in everything. And then one final thing. Just an example here. I think this is a lovely picture we see in Esther. Where Esther approaches this throne of the king. Let's read from Esther chapter 5. We'll finish with this. Esther was living in a time of great need, not only for herself, but for the whole of the people of Israel. Because there was a real danger that the Jewish people were going to be wiped out. And there was one only who had the answer. Yes, it was God, but God was working through the king at the time. And in a sense, this is a picture, really, of God himself. And Esther could only get the grace she needed, the help that she needed, in one place, and that was from the king. He was the only one that could save the day. He was the only one that could turn evil into good. and thwart the plans of the enemy. He was the only one that could do it. And so Esther approaches the throne. Let's read this from verse 1. Now it came about on the third day that Esther put on her royal robes and stood in the inner court of the king's palace in front of the king's rooms. And the king was sitting on his royal throne in the throne room opposite the entrance to the palace. When the king saw Esther, the queen, standing in the court, she obtained favor in his sight. Friends, when the Lord sees us standing in his court, clothed in Christ in our royal robes, you find favor. Isn't that wonderful? We can find favor before the throne of God when we, like Esther, come clothed in those royal robes. If you're not a believer this morning in the Lord Jesus Christ and have not committed yourself to him, you cannot find favor with him. In fact, you remain under the wrath of God. That throne represents God's wrath and God's judgment to you. The only way that we can find grace is if we are clothed in Christ. And if you've not surrendered your life to the Lord Jesus Christ this morning, you need to do that. Otherwise, you remain under the wrath of God, which is a fearful thing, friends. We need to submit to him. So when the king saw Esther, the queen, standing in the court, she obtained favor in his sight. And the king extended to Esther the golden scepter, which was in his hand. So Esther came near and touched the top of the scepter. And the king said to her, "What is troubling you, Queen Esther? What is your request? Even to half the kingdom it shall be given to you." And the Lord says something similar to us. What is troubling you? What is troubling you? And as you pour out your heart to him, as you tell him what's troubling you, the Lord is able to give grace. The Lord is able to give you everything you need for that problem and that difficulty. But we need, like Queen Esther, to approach that throne and touch the scepter as the Lord puts it out to us. And for us spiritually, that means we just need to come to him in prayer. We just need to pour out our hearts to him. We just need to approach that throne and draw near to him. And if we will do that, friends, God is able to give us the help we need. He has a proven track record down through the millennia of providing the help that his people need. No one would ever be able to say to God, "You weren't able to help me." The help that we need is found in him. You can't find it anywhere else. Don't go looking in Christian books. They might be a help of some kind, but we need to go straight to the one who can give us the help. He is the one that can help us, friends, and we are to draw near to him. So, friend, can I encourage you, I encourage myself as well, that we learn to do that constantly. And don't leave it till there's a drama in your life. Don't leave it till there's a real massive problem in your life. Draw near to the throne of grace daily. Spend time before him daily. Receiving the grace for the day ahead. Receiving his mercy. Knowing something of his strengthening. Knowing something of his wisdom and everything else that he wants to give you. Get used to doing that. Spending time. And if you're not in the habit of doing that, can I encourage you? Cultivate that habit. Spend time with him. Pouring out your heart to him. Drawing near like Queen Esther. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, we want to thank you that you are the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. But you're also the risen Lamb of God who sits on that throne this morning. And we want to thank you that we are able to boldly approach the throne of grace. Father, forgive us when we are slow to do that. Would you move in our hearts, even this morning, that we would determine to draw near to that throne of grace daily, seeking the grace that we need, seeking the mercy of God on a daily basis. Father, guard us and save us from ever thinking that we merit anything. Lord, we merit nothing but your judgment. But because our God is who he is, he pours out his grace and his mercy upon us. Father, we pray that we would know more of this in our lives. We want to be a people who have a testimony that God was able to help us in my time of need. Lord, would you give us that increasingly in that day? Thank you for the testimonies we heard this morning already. Father, would you increase that amongst us, that we will have a testimony that points to the living Lord Jesus, who sits on that eternal throne. Lord, we give you all the glory this morning. Amen.